Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello, I'm Harriet Minter, and this is the Badass Women's Hour. This week, I went to the Bath Literary Festival to do a talk all about my new book, WFH, How to Build a Career You Love When You're Not in the Office. Publishing a book in the pandemic means I haven't done those traditional, I've just published a book things. There was no book launch, no party, and until Saturday, I hadn't even seen my book in a bookshop. So I got to go to Bath for the weekend to talk to actual real life people about my book and get to pay actual real life money for it in an actual real life bookshop. It's basically been a dream come true. The brilliant Kate Cocker, whose team edit this podcast so fabulously, reminded me to take a moment to celebrate it. So often we reach big milestones, things we've wanted and have worked towards for ages, and then we instantly move on. We forget to pause in the moment and to really savour the fact that this thing we've been working towards has now happened. We made it. I am particularly bad at this. I'm very much, that's done, move on, right, what's next? So I'm really trying to take a moment to savour it, and I want to remember it and be really proud of it. So if you've had a moment like this too recently, if you've got something you've wanted for a while or you've worked really hard towards something, then I urge you to do the same. Take a little bit of time just to enjoy the feeling of it rather than setting the next goal already. But because I'm busy savouring and because I was in Bath this weekend, there isn't a full Badass Women's Hour this week. Instead, I'm bringing you two interviews with two awesome women. Michelle Kennedy talks about the language you use when dealing with women's health, and Josie Lloyd explains how running helped her deal with a cancer diagnosis.
This is the Badass Women's Hour podcast.
Michelle Kennedy is the founder of the Peanut app, which connects mums around the world. Not only is she a tech badass, but she's now responsible for changing the language the medical profession uses when dealing with women. She explains why it needed to happen.
I think actually it's something that's been happening on Peanut for a long time. There's always been a conversation around language and the language used towards women and women's bodies, and particularly around ownership and where did that come from? And I bet it wasn't a woman who came up with that. And so that's something that's always kind of existed. And one user left a video post on Peanut talking about being described as having a geriatric pregnancy and feeling just a bit kind of rubbish about it. It was picked up on Twitter. The whole thing kind of blew up, and we decided to enlist the professionals to help us do something about it. So with the help of doctors, gynecologists, linguists, and others, we pulled together a new defining glossary for women's health. So no more inhospitable womb, no more habitual aborter. Can you believe that one?
Oh my goodness.
And just making more suggestions where women were sat around the table making the decisions and the recommendations. And the brilliant women of Peanut came forward and all shared their phrases, which were absolutely unbelievable in some respects. I was kind of, you know, cringing reading them, but it had to come from the professionals, and they've put together something that's really impactful, I think.
I mean, we need to talk about habitual aborter there, because I hear that phrase and I thought it was something completely different from what it actually means. Tell us about it.
It's just one of these unbelievable phrases that is used when women are suffering from miscarriages and the pregnancies aren't going through, for want of a better word. So when you think about then a woman being referred to, or her body being referred to as a habitual aborter, it's just absolutely shocking. And you're absolutely right. Your immediate reaction to that is the woman must be deciding to have an abortion. She must be making that choice. And to know that actually, no, what we're defining here is a biological term, where pregnancies aren't going to term, and it's just unbelievable. And that's not the worst. You know, I've got examples in there of women who had been trying to conceive for so long, and the phrases from doctors were premature ovarian failure. Just the word failure in relation to your body at a time when you already feel so vulnerable and so low is just so damaging. And so look, we're very fortunate. We have amazing women on the platform who are very honest, and they use the platform to be honest. And I actually felt it was a responsibility of ours to kind of champion their voices and their honesty, and try and move towards change.
When you took some of these phrases to the medical profession, did they have, you know, I mean, what was their response to it? Because it astonishes me that doctors are just using these phrases every day as if they were normal, and nobody's gone, oh, hang on, that's not actually a particularly lovely phrase.
Yeah, there was plenty of women actually who we spoke to, doctors, physicians, obstetrician, gynecologists, who were saying that actually the language that is the customary language is not language that they like to use. So they might use it kind of internally to one another because that's the language being used, but to their patients, they're trying to moderate language. And that's obviously a lot of burden for them as well, right? That means that they're trying to keep up a double language. But they're ultimately, the point of this is women weren't sat around the table making these decisions about what language to use. And now that we do, and have more, and hopefully forever we'll have more seats at the table, now is the time to make that change.
So what were some of the things that you came up with, and how did you go about deciding the kind of approach you were going to take?
So we really handed it to the experts. You know, Peanut is a social network, and it's not our job to kind of make the language, but it can be our job to find the right people and to source the right people and to get them to sit down. So we asked our community to share with us the phrases that they found most problematic. We picked the most problematic ones, most recurring, I should say, problematic ones. We shared them with the panel, and they came back. And, you know, even that still is a work in progress. There are words and phrases that are still not perfect, and we're still, you know, very open to suggestions, but at least this is a starting point. And we've asked the medical professions who are on the panel to share it far and wide. We ask our women to share it far and wide. And if you're in a situation where a physician is using language that you do feel is outdated towards your body, you are entitled to ask them whether they would mind you know, refraining, or you know, share the new glossary. We're happy for you to do that. But, you know, we are enabled, and we should feel enabled to voice the changes we want to see.
I mean, I think that's such an important point, isn't it? Because, you know, so often so many of us are in a doctor's surgery, and things are being said to us or done to us that we feel we have no right of complaint about, really. We thought we'll just have to get on with it.
Absolutely. I mean, even when I was having my daughter, I was referred to as a geriatric pregnancy. And actually, I mean, at the time, I laughed, but in a nervous laugh, because I wasn't really sure what to say. And I felt awkward. And I was like, gosh, I'm only 35, am I? And so there was this, you know, it was a nervous laugh. And I kind of shrugged it off and laughed with girlfriends afterwards. But did I feel that it was funny? I didn't feel that it was funny, actually. It was part shock, part horror, part oh my gosh, you know, like, what does that mean? So I think there is now more than ever an opportunity for us to make the correction. And ultimately, if we don't make the correction, the young women behind us will only have to encounter this. And oftentimes, if you are seeing a physician, it's because you are either going through a seismic life change,
or you're not well, or whatever mm-hmm. it might be. And to have that very, very lowest part or most vulnerable, most open part of your life, kind of the wrong language used, I think that can be really damaging, actually.
Well, I think what you've done is absolutely fantastic, and I'm so pleased you took the challenge on. Thank you for doing it. Michelle, if somebody wants to find out more about the new glossary or some of the terms you've created, where can they find it?
You can go and check out the hashtag Renaming Revolution, or you can go and find Peanut or the App Store or Google Play.
Actually, while I've got you, Michelle, brilliant. Thank you so much for that. I'm going to ask you about a weird thing that I saw this week that I honestly thought was a kind of outdated April Fool's joke, and then it wasn't, which is the concept of pinky gloves. Did you see this?
Is this to remove your tampon?
Yes.
It was appalling. I also thought it was a joke.
So for anyone who has luckily enough not been exposed to this horror, two men in Germany created sort of what essentially looked like pink surgical gloves, which women can buy in packs of 48. I don't know how they got to the number 48. In packs of 48 to use when removing their tampon. I mean, I don't know how we've been doing it up until now. Who knew that I needed that so much? Now, apart from the fact, Michelle, it's just an absolutely horrifying idea. This idea, not only did it get kind of into a man's mind, these guys created a company and then they pitched this company to the German equivalent of Dragon's Den, and then they got funding from another man. Now, I know that it's really hard for women to get funding for good ideas, let alone stupid ones. Do you think that this is a representative of funding for female entrepreneurs? Because I know you've been through that process. Mm. And B, do you think this is really a sign that actually we should all, and I use a we, but certainly venture capitalists should be thinking really carefully about funding anything that is for women that has not been created by women?
Look, I mean, we are at a point in time where having men make decisions about women's lives and the things that women need without women's involvement is extremely problematic. It's problematic in the assumptions that are made, i.e. we don't want to touch our own tampon. Mm-hmm. And it's problematic in how that product then develops. So I think there is a real issue, and you probably also remember around 12 months ago, a leading period tracker app, which has been created by three men. And the data was being sold and, you know, women weren't aware of it. So there is a very real problem with businesses being created around women's health and private details of women's health, actually, and there not being more awareness of women of how that is happening and what's being done to exploit their data, for want of a better expression. In terms of the venture capital and the fundraising landscape, you know, it sucks right now, right? Mm-hmm. It's really appalling. It's only gone down. I think we had a high in 2018 of 3%.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think we're now dwindling back down at 2%. You know, we have to call that out for what it is. Of all of the funds and the money raised and the businesses that receive investment, only 2% go to companies founded by women and led by women. And yet we know statistically that companies which are led by women or have women founders perform better than male-only companies. We know that's been proven too. So there is a real difficulty, and the only way to change this is to try and diversify the venture capitalists. It has to start by diversifying the people who are writing the checks and making the investments, because if we don't diversify there, then the issues that women want to innovate in, they want to build in the spaces, they don't resonate with the people who are sitting around the decision holding the checks. Yeah. So it is a really, really challenging one, but it has to start now. There are some incredible investors out there who do believe in the value of investing in women-led and women-focused products, but it shouldn't be that is the minority. And that's the problem, I think.
That was Michelle Kennedy, founder of the Peanut App.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Next up, Josie Lloyd is a writer whose running career had never extended beyond an occasional jog down the road until she discovered she had cancer. In this interview, she talks about how a running club saved her mental health and why it became the inspiration for her new book.
Hey, Harriet, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. So start off, first of all, telling me, are you naturally a runner? Have you always been a runner?
Well, I would say that I'm more of a chogger, a chat jogger. I wouldn't say that I'm a runner, but I have actually, to be fair, when I first moved to Brighton about 10 years ago, I did do the Brighton Marathon. So I have actually done a marathon, but I'm really built for comfort, not speed. It's not my natural, but I do like it. You know, I do it really as a kind of reluctant thing to kind of like take my heart for a walk, you know, like a dog.
That's a great way of looking at it. I like that. because you really got into it. We think generally of runners as people who get into running because they're fit and they're healthy and they want to stay fit and healthy. But actually you became a sort of committed runner because you had a cancer diagnosis.
Totally by accident. So I got picked up on a routine scan. I was called for a voluntary scan to see, I was 47. They said, do you want to come? We're testing under 50s, come for a voluntary mammogram. Thank God I did, because I was picked up and I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And Roz, who's a mum at the school gate, but also a fitness instructor, said, come on, come down the seafront and join my girls who are all, you know, going through treatment. And I was like, Roz, I am going to bed under the duvet with chocolate biscuits. I'm not moving. And she said, no, keep fit. You've got to keep fit. It's really important. They're building gyms next to oncology departments in Australia. Come down the seafront. So off I went and I met this group of girls who were just what I needed, because it was such a shock to get this horrible diagnosis. And overnight, what happens when you get a diagnosis like that? You feel that everything that makes you has been stripped away, and all anyone can talk about or say or see is you're somebody with cancer. And you know, and it's really scary. Anyway, they were very wonderful, kind of dynamic, funny, plucky group of women. They, most of them were a bit ahead of me in treatment. Quite a lot of them were coming out the other side and trying to sort of get their mojo back. And we landed up running together. And that was how the whole thing started, because, you know, I was running with these girls every week. And then I went down a couple of weeks later and there was a guy from the press there. And he said, oh, it's so great, you're doing the Brighton Marathon 10K. And I was like, the what? The actual what? Anyway, and Roz said, yeah, we're training for the Brighton Marathon 10K. You're going to do it. So that's what happened. So I landed up running the Brighton Marathon 10K with the gang just before my third chemo. So I was running four.
I mean, it's so amazing, because I think we still have a picture of people going through cancer treatment, going through chemo, as you can't live your normal life and you can't have the normal things.
No, well, you can't, you know, you do get very debilitated. But actually what I very quickly learned was actually putting a pair of trainers on and getting out in the sunshine and getting my blood moving and getting, motivated by this sort of my tribe of women that I'd found was entirely the right medicine and the thing that I needed the most. So despite how terrible I felt at times through my treatment, you know, going in and seeing them and kind of running with them was just a remarkable and wonderful thing. So yeah, I could thoroughly recommend it to everybody. And you know, for me, what happened was we ran this 10K race and I was hot and bothered and I was slowing down and I took my hat off and I'm running bald. And then all this amazing thing happens. All these runners run past me and they go, oh, I'm clear 3 years, keep going. I'm clear 5 years, keep going. And I was wow, you know, this is amazing. And then this one woman, I mean, this is the story that kind of sparked the book, but this one woman ran with me and she was like this picture of health. And she said, oh, I had cancer, I ran all the way through my treatment. I was really poorly, but you know, you can do it, keep going. And so she really motivated me and I ran on. And then on the very last turn of the race, she'd waited for me and she said, stop a minute, I want to talk to you. And I said, what is it? She said, well, when I was going through treatment at my lowest ebb, she said, I was in a cafe and this woman came up to me, this stranger. And she said, I know exactly what you're going through. I've been there and I want you to have hope that your life is going to be better than ever, the other side of cancer. Don't give up hope, it's going to be fine. And this woman in the cafe had taken off a little butterfly necklace and had given it to the runner and said, this is a little butterfly of hope and I want you to wear it and one day you can pass it on. And the runner said to me, I've been wearing this necklace for 3 years and now it's time to pass it on and now it's your little butterfly of hope and I want you to know that your life is going to be better than ever, the other side of cancer. We had this little cuddle and off she went and I don't even know her name. And I've been wearing this sort of little butterfly necklace for 3 years, which hopefully I will pass on one day. But as a novelist, it was such an extraordinary moment, Harriet. I was just like, right, I've got to write a novel about this.
It's absolutely amazing. Tell us about the novel itself and kind of the premise of it. Give us the outline of the plot.
Well, it's about Kira, who is, there's a lot of my journey in it and a lot of my medical details, but she's not me. It's very much a fiction book. She's also a mum of three kids. She's got a very successful business. She runs a kind of lovely gift shop in town. She's very happily married. She's at the top of her game. She thinks everything's fab and she doesn't want anything to change. And then, of course, she gets this diagnosis of cancer and she finds, you know, her tribe when she meets Tamsin, who's like this elder goth who is a runner and who persuades her into running. And very slowly they kind of gather more into their running team and she lands up kind of spearheading this race and doing a race to raise some money. And but along the way, it's very much a novel about how when you get a diagnosis like this, your life doesn't stop. She's still a busy mum. Dog still needs his injections, the kids, there's still problems with the teens, there's a horrible mother-in-law, and so it's about her sort of coping with it. And and it's funny and it's uplifting, and one of the things that I really wanted to do was to write a story about cancer and getting through it and how many, many women like me are not just surviving cancer but thriving the other side of it. Because cancer, I felt, you know, when I first was diagnosed, I really wanted to look for a book. I'm a great fiction reader and I wanted a book. But cancer is quite often depicted in such a sad and depressing, an awful way. And we need to kind of tell some stories about the reality of it, which is one in two of us are going to get cancer in our lifetimes. One in eight women get breast cancer. So it's something that affects us all. And there's many, many women, and I'm not sugarcoating it because I know that it's kind of difficult and not many people, not everybody has great outcomes, but there are a lot of people doing really well the other side. And it takes some of the fear out of it, I think.
I mean, I just loved your story so much when I read about it, Josie, because I have a very good friend who, she taught me to run. So she was the person that took me on park run and got me around 5K very, very, very slowly. And she's a much better runner than I. And she used to jog so slowly with me the whole way around this park run. We were always the last people, but she taught me to run. And we met up for our weekly run one day and she said, oh, it's, you know, it's got a bit of a horrible week ahead because I've got to go and have this mammogram, but I think it's going to be fine. And it turned out she had breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And we ran together throughout her treatment, and just reading about it really reminded me, sorry, it's a bit emotional, really reminded me of the first run we did together after her treatment. Yeah. And just, you know, bless her, she'd run so slowly with me the whole way through, and then I was running slowly with her when she was going through treatment. And after treatment, and she just got halfway around, she's like, I've just got to go. And I was like, go. And she like took off to finish this run. But it was this kind of moment for her of just being like, yes, I'm kind of, I am this person with a life, and I am reclaiming it. And it was just the most beautiful thing. And that experience actually brought us much, much closer as friends. And you talk in the book about, you know, the importance of female friendship. How important was that for you when you were going through your
diagnosis? Totally crucial. And, you know, and I, what a lovely story about your friend. And, hats off to that. And, you know, good for her. And she's, you know, that whole thing of kind of running, of reclaiming your life is so true, so important. But friendship, this is a book about friendship. It's about old friends, it's about new friends, it's about friends you meet for a little bit of time, and it's about friends who you thought were your friends but actually turn out not to be your friends. So, you know, there is quite a lot in there. But for me personally, getting through the whole thing was only possible with the support of my friends. And I think certainly when you go through something monumental, it's really important that you find friends that are going through the same thing as you. I found that really helpful. You know, like new mums find, you know, NCT groups or whatever, and then they kind of form these bonds. Me and the girls who I ran with, we are so close. You know, we are completely different people. We wouldn't ever have met, you know, but we've just got this really tight bond, and I know that I could really rely on them for anything. So, you know, it's a really important thing. It's such a lovely thing to have come out of it. So it was very important for me to write about it.
How was it writing about it? Did you find it easy to write about, particularly writing about cancer and the treatment process and the diagnosis and all that sort of, did you feel at that stage sort of far enough removed from it that it was easy to write about, or was it a more cathartic experience?
Well, it's been a long process. It's a good question. I mean, I journaled all the way through it because I'm a writer. So I really encourage anybody who's going through listening to this, who's going through anything, going through treatment, get a notebook and write it down, because actually getting those very scary thoughts out of your head and onto the page is actually an incredibly therapeutic thing to do. So, you know, I had all this copy because of course I'd written it all down about meeting these kind of strange new people in this medical world and all this new jargon you get and all these kind of appointments. And so I kept a note of it. And, you know, to be honest, being a very vain author, at the end of it, I had like 80,000 words of quite interesting copy. And I'm like, well, I've got to do something with this. But I didn't want to write a memoir. I didn't, you know, it was very important to me that I wrote a fiction book because I wanted it to be general enough so that it was an every woman kind of experience, that it was not very specific, that but that it was something that everybody who maybe has had a touch of, you know, a run in with cancer or knows somebody who's had some would be able to see that it would apply to them. So it took me quite a long time to actually find Kira's story and find the kind of running girls and make them truly fictional. But I'm not, you know, denying it. It's quite a heart on your sleeve novel. There's a lot of me in there. But also, I think it's important to be honest about these things and to be brave and put those details out there, because it's important to make it authentic and to make it real.
For anyone who's listening to this now and maybe is going through this, is going through treatment, and there is a point, I think, in the treatment process where you just feel like, oh my God, this is going forever. Am I ever going to feel normal again?
Yeah.
What would you want them to know?
To stay positive. Mm. I think having a positive attitude is really, really key. You're never going to feel positive the whole way through. There are going to be dark days, but it will pass and you will get better. And this one I really wanted to write about in this novel is that moment where you get a diagnosis and you suddenly leave the old shores of your old life. You've left you and you're kind of on the way to somewhere new, and you don't know how that's going to be when you get there. But just have hope, and trust that it's going to be all right, because it is. And just stay positive. Get one, just, it's the real kind of runner's kind of mantra, put one foot in front of the other and you will get there. And the thing is, you know, cancer treatment is a bit of a conveyor belt. You get on it and you kind of, it's relentless, because it's appointment, 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 and treatment, and treatment, and treatment. And, you know, you get to the end of it and you're like, you feel slightly run over by the whole thing. But then you do get better.
Do you, are you still running now?
Yeah. Yeah, we ran this week. Yeah. And I actually made my husband do a 10K. We were going to do the Brighton Marathon 10K in April, but it got cancelled. So I'm Emlyn, my husband, said, oh, babe, I'll do that with you. And I was like, really? So we did a 10K the other week. So, yeah, no, I still run, and I still run with the girls. I mean, I don't run far, but I probably run about sort of, I do the park run. And actually, there's a really good thing that's 5K my way, which is part of the park run. So it's for anybody going through treatment who wants to put their trainers on and doesn't know who to like turn to, but doesn't want to run on their own. Go to the park run, look up 5K My Way, and you'll find a whole load of people and brilliant volunteers and people who are supporting cancer patients and people going through a tough time who are just don't think they can run, but you can go as slowly as you like and go round just after the park runners.
That was Josie Lloyd, and her new book, The Cancer Ladies Running Club, is out now. That's all for this week. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you've enjoyed it. As ever, please do rate, review, subscribe, and I'll be back again next week with the normal format. But in the meantime, just a reminder to savour a bit of your badass brilliance.
You've been listening to Badass Women's Hour. If you like the show, then help more people find us. You can tag us or talk to us on social media using @BadassWomen'sHour, or you can be really lovely and leave us a review and a rating. 5 stars, please. It helps boost us up the podcast rankings and allows other people to find us. We'll be back next week with more badass guests and in-depth chat.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run futuretools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.